Coming to you from the bottom of Lake Agassiz. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the mighty 790 KFGO. I'm your host, Doug Lear. This is a weekly kind of an outdoors radio magazine that we put together for you. I am a former game warden, so I bring that to the table with beginning my career as a game warden, first stationed in Botno and then in West Fargo. I'm a North Dakota native. I've lived in a lot of places around North Dakota, from Williston to Stanley to Botno to Bismarck, McKenzie, Cullom, Lemoore, Valley City, and West Fargo. Proud to call West Fargo my home, and absolutely, absolutely love living in the Red River Valley, and also love bringing the outdoors to life each and every weekend, as we've been doing for working on 15 years of the weekend edition of Outdoors Live. So we bring you a combination of outdoors reports from Pat Stockdale. She'll be bringing us a Central Dakota Outdoors report to bring us the latest outdoor activities from snow goose hunting, preparing for turkey hunting as well. And CJ Johnson does the same thing with a Minnesota Outdoors report as well. And first, let's welcome to the weekend edition of Outdoors Live the director of the North Dakota Game and Fish Department, Terry Steinwad. And Terry, let's talk about the recently held deer management meetings that we accepted comments until the mid part of March. The meetings took place in February, and maybe a place to start for our listeners that might not be aware of what's transpired is the reason for these deer management meetings that were held.
Well, it was really an accumulation of comments we've heard honestly over the last 5 to 6 years, even during the height of the deer, when we had 150,000 licenses out there, we're getting some people saying you should do this different, you should do that different, and, sure. And we always compile those comments. Over the last 3 years, 4 years, with the hard winters, declining deer population, we felt it was time to get out there and talk to the public and present the ideas that they had actually given us for how can we get a license, how can we better our opportunities to get out there and go deer hunting. And we just put those together and presented those to the public and what it would possibly mean.
What was your estimation in terms of your perspective as the director of the Game and Fish Department from the attendance aspect of the meetings, Terry?
It was actually better than expected, because with the 8 separate meetings we had across the state, we had over 800 people in attendance. And it was some cold weather out there, so we had people driving quite a ways to attend some of these meetings. In Bismarck, we live streamed the event because we had the capability at the Bismarck office here, and over 650 people actually viewed that on live stream. Since then, we've also had, I believe it's right around 500 to 600 view it online that we put on February 26th. So, yeah, there's been great interest in this topic.
Terry Steinwad is the director for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. He joins us on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live. As I've said before, as you can talk deer anytime, anywhere in North Dakota, whether it's April, November, or July. And Terry, from these deer meetings, we talked about a lot of different avenues that people could learn about the history of deer management, the here and the now. In terms of comments, the comments were accepted online. There was a cutoff date of March 17th, but what was your estimation of the comments of what people had maybe for suggestions?
Yeah, I wouldn't say. There are a couple new concepts that I've seen, and I certainly haven't read all of them. I don't even know how many comments we received by the deadline, and we'll certainly still keep on taking comments. Forever, honestly, because whatever decision we ultimately make on this, there's going to be some unhappy people, as there are unhappy people now. But the Wildlife Division is currently compiling those comments, and what I've heard is there's probably some variations of the options that we gave out there, and those are going to take time to evaluate. I can't give you a time frame because I don't know how many comments we received or what the comments actually are. But hopefully in the next couple of weeks it'll be compiled and we can start putting together a better time frame and when we're going to announce what we think is the best thing to do.
I guess one point that maybe we reiterate is the fact that, and it was stated at the beginning of the meeting, I can remember listening to Jeb Williams and Jamestown Randy Kreil as well, right out of the gate, saying that the meetings were a discussion and an information exchange between hunters and game and fish. And the point of changes in 2014 was not something that was on the table. There were not going to be any significant changes for 2014, right, Terry?
That's correct. We made that announcement at every meeting. It's going to take time, like you said. There's a process we have to go through, which is the proclamation, setting the deer numbers, putting the proclamation out there. The biggest issue, if any change is going to be made, there'll probably have to be some programming and process changes, and we just would not have enough time to get that done in 2014. The deadline for deer applications is going to be June 4th, always the first weekend, June. There's just not enough time to get all those things done and work some of the bugs out of them, because when you do something, you want to make sure you do it right the first time. And if you mess it up, there are going to be a greater number of unhappy people out there than you care to look at.
He is the director of your North Dakota Game and Fish Department. Terry Steinwood is our guest. Let me put this out there, just to understand one observation as a lifetime North Dakota native, as a hunter, as a biologist for the Game and Fish Department, is you've got to understand that what you see as a problem in Walcott might not be a problem in Wild Rose. And if you're not sure where Wild Rose is, it's up in the Williston area, just to keep with my W's. My point is that when people bring up problems or solutions or suggestions, our job at Game and Fish is to take a step back and understand that while your suggestion and your proposal or problem might be legitimate in the deer hunting unit that you live or that you hunt in, it might not work as a statewide. There might be some other underlying issues, from land ownership to gratis and everything else that comes into play, which is what makes it a challenge from wildlife management. Is I can understand somebody might have the silver bullet as to here's what we need to do in 2A in Richland County area, but we manage deer on a statewide basis. And I think people can understand and realize that there's a level of, what would you say, a level of understanding that we try not to get to the point where we're managing deer for every single unit differently, and similar to having rules and regulations that are different on every single lake, river, and stream. While it might work, it can make it very confusing for hunters and for anglers in that example as well. So it's not as simple as writing it on a bar napkin and saying, here you go. Problem, solution, put her in place, boys. There's definitely more work that is being done. What's next? Terry Steinwood stays with us and answers that question coming up next on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. And welcome back to the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. I'm your host, Doug Lear. Still to come on this weekend edition of Outdoors Live, we'll bring you a Central Dakota Outdoors report with Pat Stockdale. And CJ Johnson will do the same thing in Minnesota as well, give you a little better idea of who is doing what outdoors, as we are enjoying the opening weekend of turkey season in North Dakota. So if you drew a turkey tag, hoping that you and yours are having a little opportunity to get out there and enjoy what traditionally was the first hunting season of spring, not to be confused with the crow season, which opened up on March 8th, and the relatively new spring snow goose conservation season. I understand completely that there is a group of hunters that have grown up with having a spring snow goose season. It's tough for me to get my arms around is the spring snow goose season opened up in 1999, and to realize that we're 15 years into it, so some of the younger hunters have always known a spring snow goose conservation. See, that really dates me. It really definitely starts to show my age when I totally understand and totally appreciate, similar to in a bigger scale of the group of hunters that have grown up with CRP all of their life and never known a hunting landscape in North Dakota that I grew up in the early 1980s, that had no such thing as CRP, that had no such thing as plots, private land open to sportsmen. And while the plots acreage has shrunk in recent years from over 1 million acres down to 700,000 acres, I look at it from the flip side as saying 700,000 acres of private land open to sportsmen. That's 700,000 more than I had in 1983. So you can look at it glass half empty, glass half full, but that's the reality of the world that we live in. Terry Steinwood is the director of the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. And if you missed earlier, you can check out the podcast at kfgo.com. Thank you to Bob Harris for doing that. But Terry started off discussing the deer management situation in North Dakota. And after the advisory board meetings last December, it was decided that we would hold a series of deer information, deer management meetings, 8 locations across North Dakota. We would open up for comments, and these meetings would be a combination of history of where we've been at with deer numbers in North Dakota, the right now, what we've got in North Dakota, and an examination of muzzleloader, youth, archery, rifle, mule deer, white-tailed deer, gratis. There's a lot of different variables in the equation of deer hunting and deer management in North Dakota. And Terry, when we take all of the comments and all of the information from Game and Fish, let me ask you to explain the what's next situation.
Well, what we'll do, compile those comments, look at some of those variations, and we're going to have to evaluate them. What do they actually mean? And that we'll have at least those compilations done, and we can report that during the advisory board meetings. As far as the decision on what to do, those are certainly not going to be done. I would hope in 2 to 3 months maximum that we can take a look, a better look, and make a decision. And at that point in time, we'll have meetings, advisory board meetings, we'll have news releases. We want to make sure everybody is aware, if a change is made, what that change is and what it would mean for them.
And no doubt about it, with the advisory board meetings that just wrapped up, that was definitely a topic.
Yeah, I'd be darn surprised if that isn't one of the first questions we get during every advisory board meeting. What decision have you made? It was one day after the meetings were done, Randy Kreil got a phone call saying, well, what did you decide? Well, there's an awful lot of work to do yet, but we're pushing hard to get through that because deer hunting is so important.
The reality of it is, as I kind of explained at the beginning too, is that we're not going to be able to make everybody happy. And you hear that in government as well. As the fact of the matter is, it's pretty much impossible to make everybody happy. That's just not the way the world works, Terry.
Right. We certainly have some unhappy people now because they haven't had a deer license for 7, 8, 9 years in some cases. Whatever decision we make, we know we're going to make some other people unhappy. If we make no decision or no change, people are going to be unhappy. The idea is, this is an opportunity for North Dakotans for deer hunting. That's what most North Dakotans like to do. What we want to do is make sure we provide the greatest opportunity for the greatest number of people.
Terry Steinwood, the director of your North Dakota Game and Fish Department, our guest on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live. As we prepare to transition to the Central Dakota Outdoors Report with Pat Stockdale, let me also take a moment to explain some new fishing regulations that went into effect on April 1st. On April 1st, you needed a new fishing license. So if you didn't get that, make sure, first things first, get yourself a new fishing license. The good thing is that fishing season in North Dakota never, ever closes. Open 24/7, 365. Some of the changes that you'll see in our fishing regulations this year, the most notable one is the statewide daily in possession limit of crappie. The daily limit is now 10, and the possession limit is 20. Over the last 10 years, we've really seen a spike in interest in crappie fishing, and the crappie population is a little bit susceptible to that. I think of spots in Stutsman County that are known. And again, I can understand where if you're traveling from Fargo to Jamestown Reservoir or Pipestem, and you're like, gosh, it was nice when we had a day limit of 20. But at the same point, it's across the board. It's not just rules and regulations for people that live in Stutsman County, where they have less to invest in terms of time and gas to go out and catch crappie. There's one thing that I'll say. If you want to discuss stuff on the tailgate of the truck at the, if you're turkey hunting on the opener and you're having a sandwich, think about this. Because Devil's Lake in the spring of the year, there's a lot of locals that can go out and fish every day from 5 o'clock until 5:30 and catch a limit of fish. And people will complain about all the guys from Grand Forks and Fargo. What if they just make one trip? And they'll complain that these guys took five big, huge walleye. And I'm not discounting that happens. But in your discussion, think about the guy that can go out there every day without having to invest a couple tanks of gas or whatever it might be. Is it right for that guy to complain about people from Grand Forks or Fargo going to Devil's Lake? I'm not judging. I'm just saying that there's a lot of variables that you can take into account. And that's one of the things that we like to do on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live. Look at both sides of the issue. Coming up next, Pat Stockdale with a Central Dakota Outdoors report on the Mighty 790 KFGO. Welcome back to the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. I'm your host, Doug Lear. We are just a few moments away from connecting with Pat Stockdale as she brings us each week a Central Dakota Outdoors report. And then a little bit later on in the program, we will also be bringing you a Minnesota Outdoors report with CJ Johnson. As we are into the turkey season opener, I also wanted to take a moment for all the turkey hunters out there to, and not that the fields are flooded with turkey hunters, but there's so many things that go on. And while you're turkey hunting, snow goose hunting, cleaning the garage, whatever you might be doing this weekend, bring you up to date on a walleye tagging study. It's being done on the Missouri River and Lake Oahe. 1 year in the books, and it's a four-year study. And 9,100 fish were tagged, and 1,400 tags were turned in by anglers, which from my fisheries management classes, you think about the population of walleye in Missouri River and Lake Oahe, and the acre feet of water that they can spread out in. Phenomenal to have 1,400 tags caught and returned and sent in. Here's, again, it's a four-year study, but here's an example of something that was found. Fish tagged in North Dakota move a greater distance than those tagged further downstream. In North Dakota, fish tagged in Oahe and the Garrison Reach of the Missouri River traveled an average of 40 river miles. Fish tagged in Lake Oahe in the upper and the middle zone within the South Dakota reach averaged 10 to 15 river miles. Those tagged in the lower zone only about 5 miles. I don't know why. And that's one of the things that fisheries biologists want to find out why. And then it also helps you better understand where fishing pressure is through tag returns and where fish movement occurs or where fish congregate. I'm always really, really intrigued by what biologists learn from banding of ducks and geese and movements to walleyes as well. I know we have a lot of people heading out to the Missouri River. If you catch a tag fish, there's a phone number on the tags. It's a South Dakota phone number, but you can report it on our Game and Fish Department website. Or you can call our Bismarck office, 328-6300, if you'd like to report those tags, as well as the study, as I mentioned, continuing for three more years. And some of the tags, in fact, I think my dad caught one last year. Yeah, he did. Have a reward on there. It's a way that fisheries management uses to help encourage people to report tags. Sometimes people have a, I don't know why, everybody's wired a different way. But four-year study, the goal to tag 10,000 walleye. So there's more work to be done and the information will be gleaned. And we'll bring it up to date as things go along as well. Right now, it's time to get you a Central Dakota Outdoors report. Pat Stockdale is a regular feature. You read her work in Minnesota Outdoor News, Dakota Country Magazine, other various mediums. But beyond that, she provides us a better picture of what's going on outdoors across North Dakota. She connects with guides, outfitters, game wardens, bait shops, people up and down in and around the area, and helps us better understand what's cooking outdoors this week, Pat.
Welcome to the Central Dakota Outdoors Report, a look at fishing and outdoor activities throughout eastern North Dakota and the Missouri River system. Anglers, the transition into open water fishing is finally getting underway with this week's warmer weather enveloping North Dakota. Many lakes have open water along their shorelines and in areas with flowing water, such as bridges and culverts. While ice thickness is still there on many lakes, it is starting to honeycomb. Be careful if you're still trying to walk onto Devil's Lake or Pelican Lake. Those open water shorelines will soon be offering up some activity on southeastern and south central Pike Lakes, as well as rivers such as the Cheyenne, where there is shoreline access and it isn't too muddy. Look for open water on other area rivers as well. Try casting daredevils from inlets and creeks for some pike. With spring elevations below normal runoff conditions, those lower water levels could help with better access and less muddy conditions. The Missouri River continues providing walleye action south of Bismarck Mandan, with anglers finding activity from both boat and shore around Eckroth Bottoms. The tail race is also producing an occasional fish, but it isn't anything consistent. The large influx of the goose migration likely moved through, but birds continue moving into and out of North Dakota. More ducks are moving in too, as well as mallards, pintails, and others. This is a great time of year for birding, but don't forget to get those birdhouses cleaned out. Or, better yet, put up a birdhouse or two for those cavity dwellers that feed on insects. And don't forget about purple martins. They're entirely dependent on humans to provide their housing. End of report.
Appreciate that report, as always. Pat Stockdale with a Central Dakota Outdoors report. She's a regular feature on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live. Should also mention a big shout out to the National Archery in Schools Tournament that's going on this weekend. It's started on Friday and goes through today, taking place at the Sports Center in Bismarck. National Archery in Schools. It's in schools. It's competitive archery. And the program has really just ballooned in the last 5 years. Jeff Long is our coordinator through Game and Fish and doing a great job. If your school is involved, as many are, with hundreds of students in elementary, middle, and high school competing, good luck. If your school is not, give Jeff Long a call at our Bismarck office and find out how you can get involved. Coming up next on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live, CJ Johnson with a little better look at what's going on in Minnesota. All that and more when we return with the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. And welcome back to the last shot for this weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. Hoping you and yours have a little opportunity to get outdoors this opening weekend of turkey season in North Dakota. I think Minnesota's turkey season starts to open up. I know they do several seasons and they stagger them throughout the spring, but coming up here in the next week or so, gosh, just a few weeks, we start the paddlefish snagging season in North Dakota. We'll be talking more about that in coming weeks as well. It doesn't necessarily feel like that tween season that March typically feels like. We do have the turkey season open. The spring snow goose season continues on in North Dakota until May 18th. Our fishing season never closed down, and won't be surprised to start getting a lot of reports from the anglers on the banks. I took a cruise last weekend through portions of Cass County, and it was interesting to note that the red the Cheyenne, the Maple, the Rush, all the creeks and streams, the Wild Rice, all within their banks. I don't think anybody's complaining too loudly that they're not slinging sandbags bearing down on Easter. That's definitely a positive going into this spring. So we can actually enjoy spring. We can actually enjoy Easter. We can actually enjoy Twins baseball, high school track and baseball, and lots of fun stuff to get outdoors as spring is here. And now, folks, it's time to get a little update on what's going on across Minnesota. It's amazing how much things can change just in a matter of a week. And when we get a outdoors report from Minnesota, we call on our good friend CJ Johnson, a Lisbon, North Dakota native, and has spent his career covering the outdoors for Minnesota. And he connects with us each week. He's a regular feature on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live. CJ Johnson, how's things looking in Minnesota this week, my friend?
Well, pretty good. The ice fishing season is getting short now because we are actually getting some worthwhile warm-ups and so forth, and a little bit of rain here and there around the state. But do remember, please, everybody, this is the tween season for ice fishing, so be careful, check the ice, ask for information, and most of all, don't take any chances out there because you never know. Okay, Tommy Newstrom over in Winnebagoche says the temperatures are continuing to rise, and so are the anglers, the big Winnie, for their perch bite up there. Fishing, he says, has been pretty good with several limits taken already, and several of the resorts have also plowed out some roads. Tommy says a small spoon with several larvae, a minnow head, or a number three jigging wrap have been the best baits of choice, especially for the perch. Smoky Hills Outdoors reports that as the temperatures are predicted to rise over the course of the next week or so, the bite will also get better in the Park Rapids area. Lakes should reoxygenate as the sun melts the surrounding snow and ice. Panfish bite has gone from lazy to crazy in the course of just a few days, I guess. Northland's ripping shad seems to be attracting most of the active crappies and perch as well with it. So, Leisure Outdoors in the Brainerd area says look for sunfish and crappies floating right now in that area around the deeper areas, about 20 to 30 feet down. But on some days, you can also find them right up to the weeds. Small jig and plastic combo seem to have been the best in the Brainerd area at this time of the year. Chris Kudak over on Mille Lacs says anglers are catching tulipies on 1 mile and 3 mille bars. If you haven't fished Mille Lacs, you ask at a bait shop. There are sandbars out there, and they do shift, by the way, from time to time in the wind in the summer, and you find out where these are. They're also getting perch at 7 mile reef, and roads seem to be plowed out from Dickey, so call for an update and check it out ahead of time. Paul Nelson in Bemidji says the late ice fishing is definitely underway at this point. The spring meltdown is getting serious this week, it appears, with a lot warmer temperatures in a lot of areas. Perch are one of the first species to move to shallows because they spawn almost immediately after ice out, so guess where you're going to look for perch? Okay, in the shallows. Over at Becca Arndt's spot in Detroit Lakes, they've got 20 to 30 inches of ice yet on most of the lakes in the area. Panfish fishermen are still having some pretty good success in the DL area along the shallow weeds again. Height of land, Todd, Rock, Shell, Tamarack, and Melissa Lakes all have produced over the last week or two. With the thaw, there is some slop to contend with, as you might imagine, on that ice. That's why we say be careful and don't take chances. But once you get out there, you will find them. High flash spoons, just about any kind of bait, should help you out a great deal. And Doug, this is the time of the year that many people start dreaming about Minnesota's fishing opener in May, as the ice is going to go away sooner or later. But there's about a half a million anglers that will be out on the water on opening day in Minnesota, as per usual over the last decade or two. I remember interviewing fishing pro Babe Winkleman a few years back for a radio show I did, and I asked him about, okay, your tackle box has sat in the garage all winter long. Now you're going to go out and open it up, and it's, you know, and make sure the garage door is open because it's not going to smell nice. So how do you decide what to keep in that thing?
Mm.
He said, well, he had a formula. And he says, grab yourself a plastic pail, get out in the garage, open the door, turn it over on the floor. Just dump everything out right on the floor. Now, when you see them, separate them. You know, put the spoons over there, the flashing spoons there, the jigs there. All of these things. Just separate everything out. Stuff that really looks crusty right away. You can throw that right away. Now, once you get all of them, all in little piles. There are probably about 3, 4, 5 piles going. What you do, you use the dustpan to go get the stuff that was really cruddy, sweep it up, and throw it away. And I sit down in the pail again and look at all of the piles, one at a time. Just look and see what you think. Well, that's not bad. You know, I could probably use that, you know, whatever it is. And after you've done that for about 5, 10 minutes, you'll really be able to make up your mind what to do. And he says, if you do like I do every time, you get up, you pick up the old dustpan and broom, sweep them all up, throw them all away, and go get some new stuff. Well, that solved the problem right away. I've never had any trouble, although my wife doesn't like seeing me do that.
Do that when my wife tells me to clean the kitchen.
Oh, my, now you're asking for trouble.
I know,
I know. Into the wrong territory.
Oh, great stuff. As always, CJ Johnson, he is a regular feature on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live. We appreciate your insight, the humor, the stories as well. Thanks so much, CJ.
My pleasure.
Well, that was the last cast for this weekend edition of Outdoors Live. A big thank you goes out to Bob Harris, the executive producer of the weekend edition of Outdoors Live. Without Bob Harris, this program would not exist, and it's a podcast with a good thank you to Bob Harris as well. So if you missed part of it, if you'd like to hear other portions of the program, go to kfgo.com. If you'd like to email me, it's outdoorslive@gmail.com, outdoorslive@gmail.com. Until next time, I'm Doug Lear reminding you, as always, keep your lines tight and your powder dry. Have a great one out there.